You are listening to BensTorah.com.
The topic, learning Tamei HaMitzvahs, learning the reasons behind mitzvahs. We'll see what that means very shortly. And the Shita and the Hashgafa I will be presenting to you was developed by the Briska dynasty, the Soloveitchik Mishpacha, going back to the Beis HaLevi, Reb Chaim. Openly, I heard many of these sellers from my own Rebbe, Rav Yosef Levi Soloveitchik Zatzal, who was my Rebbe. So I want you to listen today what I have to say, and basically, I hope you'll share this with others because of the importance this has when it comes to the mitzvah of Tamei Torah. So listen very carefully. Once again, all of this is on tape. So anybody who wants a copy of the tape, you can contact me. I will make sure you're able to receive a copy of this year. Listen to what I have to say. We know for a fact when Klal Yisrael mekabel the Torah Har Sinai, they made the statement Naseh v'nishma, which was the official statement of Klal Yisrael when it comes to be mekabel the Torah upon themselves as the Tanai for becoming Amanivka, the Am School of Klal Yisrael. Kabbalah Sotera is therefore a major part of being the chosen nation of Hashem. Now, the Beis HaLevi, who was Rav Yosef HaLevi Soloveitchik, the father of Reb Chaim, who was Rosh Hashiva in the Volozhin Yeshiva, so he says that this Naseh V'Nishma tells us that when it comes to learning Torah, there in fact are two basic chiyuvim when it comes to learning Torah. Number one, there's a concept of lilmod amenas lasos, learning the basic halacha, learning Shulchan Aruch, in order to know the do's and don'ts of the mitzvahs we are faced with every day of our life. So we learn quite obviously the basic concepts of what are the halachas when we're eating food, what are the halachas when a man puts on a pirut tefillin, or they put on a pirut tzitzis, or a woman's lighting candles for Shabbos. All of these halachas you learn very quickly in the Shulchan Aruch. That's lilmod Torah for the purpose lasos to perform. But there's another level of Torah, and that lesson of learning Torah is not the nasa, but basically it is the concept of nishra. And nishra means, as the Beis HaLevi explains, that we have to not only suffice of knowing the do's and the don'ts, but we have to spend time in going into the iyun, going into the deep parts of the Torah itself, to basically analyze what I would call the panemius of the Torah, the internal structure of the Torah, and that's the Kadik Isa B'Yom Alayla. We have to learn as deeply as we possibly can. And Baruch Hashem, the yeshiva and seminary system we have today for men and for women are surely involved not only in doing the mitzvah of Nasa, learning for the purpose of doing, but they spend a lot of time on the Nishma, learning Torah in depth, in order to basically see the internal structure of the Torah in all its dimensions. When you learn Torah in the panemius, in the internal way, you're going to use the darshan as the Gemara does with the 13 midos, principles of how you darshan Torah Shekseva and Torah Shavapeh. That's what the Talmud Bavli, Talmud Yerushalmi, that's what the Midrash HaHalacha are all about, the Mechilta, the Sefra, the Sefrei. These are books that are learned both in yeshivas and in seminaries on some level. When it comes to understanding the in-depth analysis of the subject matter of Torah beneath the surface, Chazal tell us that there's so many different ways of interpreting these very, very crucial in-depth analysis of Torah's inside essence. You can sometimes have multiple opinions on one specific halach when it comes to the internal structure, which perhaps might end up with opposite halachic are results, but the Gemara already said in many places that even though you have Achlokas, Hillel, and Shammai, Vislibe, Shammai, and such, Eil, Eil, Dibun, Chayim, both represent the word of God, because God, when he structured the Torah system of learning Torah, when it comes to the software of Torah and intelligence, and understanding the Panemius, he arranged it that there are at least two possibilities, and how you come to the Maskana, the Sugya, and that's a very important limud. Even though it doesn't necessarily tell you what the ultimate halach is, you have to follow the majority opinion, as the Gemara tells us what that is when it comes to paskening shelos. Nevertheless, the theoretical discussion of the Gemara, a theoretical possible about possibilities that might be opposite in one another, is part of the key of understanding Torah, comprehending Torah, And in fact, Chazal tell us that when a person spends a lot of time in learning Torah be'iyun and goes into the panemius of Torah and its inner workings, the inner halachic debates, shkafic debates contained in the ultimate interior of the Torah, in the nishma pa'igisa yom v'alayla, what happens when you do that, you should count it to understand and comprehend the infinite divine mind of HaKadosh Baruch in creating the whole Torah literature that we have, how deep it is, how penetrative it is, how it's so possible to analyze in so many different ways and coming to different conclusions in our specific analysis. By seeing this and experiencing this, Chazal tell us that we come, ultimately speaking, to recognition of the divine mindset of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We recognize the brilliance of Hashem and the brilliance of the Torah and the depth perception we have in all of the Torah. We're learning Torah, Shabbat Ksav, and Tevah, Shabbat Peh. And by doing such, we develop an understanding of Hashem, a comprehension of Hashem, and all we may Shema Avucha by going and analyzing and trying to come to ultimate conclusions. And what we're learning, we're able to develop ultimately appreciation and love for HaKadosh Baruch for what He gave us, the Torah Chashuva, that we have been given to us going back to the time of Matan Torah, has seen itself. What a unbelievable, Chazal say, a treasure that Hashem gave us to Klal Yisrael as a text to learn from continuously our entire life. And Torah is so long, so large, so infinite in nature. We can be busy with learning Torah for all of the years of our life. If you live into the hundreds, you can never finish studying and analyzing Torah. It goes deeper and deeper. So therefore, we develop an awareness of Koras HaTov to Hashem, and ultimately a love for Hashem for having given us His Torah as the unique present to Klal Yisrael. The Gemara tells us in Gittin, Pidvar Elu Karat Chabris, Hashem gave us a covenant with the Jews for us to be the Amanivcha based upon our obligation not only to accept Torah Shebiksav, which is limited in the physical form, but to accept Torah Shebiksav under the interpretation of Torah Shavah Peh, which is unlimited in its analysis, qualities, and its capacity of understanding. It's only when we're willing to accept that type of learning Torah, which involves not only a Nasib, but an Ishma, and Yigisa Yom HaLayla was under those conditions, that Hashem said, I'm going to give you the Torah Har Sinai and make you my Aman Yitzchar, and make you, quite obviously, my Am Segula. So this is a little prelude to the basic concepts of one of the responsibilities in learning Torah, going back to the Nasiv and Ishma. What I do want to point out to you is that Rab Chaim Soloveitchik, who's the son of the Beis HaLevi, who was called Chaim of Brisk, he points out that if you look at the mitzvah of the Haggadah on the night of Pesach, the mitzvah CPSCS Mitzrayim, in the world of Brisk, they looked upon the Haggadah as the paradigm example of how, in fact, people should be involved in studying Torah. And when you look at what we do on the night of Pesach and the Haggadah and everything else we do involved with that Seder, you see some of the stuff I just mentioned actually done. The concept of learning Tevel Shebiksav and Tevel Shabbat Peh, and the interaction in Bedroshi Chazal with the Psukim is emphasized in the major text of the Haggadah itself. We have a very, very in-depth Torah analysis going on. We also find over there that we are not only analyzing halachic texts, we're analyzing Hashkafis HaTorah when it comes to the historical phenomenon relating to Klal Yisrael becoming Klal Yisrael, the early days of our forefathers, and how we became the Aman Yivcha later on, and the miracles performed for us. So we're learning, quite obviously, also the history of Klal Yisrael, which shows the Chiba Hashem has for us, and the Hashkafa Pratis He promised us, actually taking place through the eyes of our world in Jewish history. And that is another important activity when you learn the history of the survival of Klal Yisrael against all odds. It also gives us an understanding of connectivity to Hashem and appreciation to Hashem to give HaKadosh HaTov. That Shebechol Dar the Unlein L'Chal L'Sein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matzilin Yodim, Hashem saves us and keeps us going eternally throughout history till the end of time. What I do want to mention to you is that in the Haggadah we also have the concept of Sheila V'Tshuva, questions have to be asked, and the answers given to them. This is called the concept of interrogative dialogue. You go into any base medrash today, you go into any seminary today, and you will find that the format of instruction is questions and answers. This is the way the students and the rabbeim or the moros interact with each other. This is the way you're able to analyze in depth the actual subject matter you're studying and understanding, and brings you to a greater clarity, to the point that many times many rabbeim will say, as much as I learned from my rabbeim, as much as I might have learned from my chavrusas with my co-talmidim, b'talmid yosem akulam, when my students started asking me questions when I was a rebbe or a mora, they really gave me insight that I understood my learning even on a deeper level. So the concept of interrogative dialogue, question and answer, is a very crucial part when it comes to learning Torah. And another phenomenon we see in the Haggadah is the concept of the usage of audiovisual aids, the Kara placed on the table. We discuss what all of the various food items they represent and symbolize. And therefore, if that's the case, the concept of audiovisual aids, Hashem used it when he came to teaching Klal Yisrael in Mekadesh Techodesh. He taught us how to Kohanim are supposed to formulate their hands when they give the bar for Birkas Kohanim. There are many things that we have mentioned that the Rosh Hashanah gave a prophetic nevuah, audiovisual, to the Nevi'im and to the Gedolim, who are going to teach us Torah later on, of how something's done. So audiovisual aids is also a very important factor in Limud HaTorah itself. The story goes on the Chassam Sof, the 1800s, he wanted to teach his Talmid in the concept of Kiddush HaChodesh. He had various types of tablets in his house where you can recreate the formats of what the moon looks like to figure out when you're Mekadesh Levana, when you're not Mekadesh Levana. And therefore, they used audiovisual props and aids in order to give Torah over to their Talmidim. Later on, they're learning other halachas where you need visual sights to be able to see and appreciate the intricacies of halacha. Audiovisual things are being brought into class. Today, it's a very, very big popular topic to make audiovisual, perhaps, presentations to students to make the subject matter easily more comprehensible and able to understand. But now today, I want to come to another part of Talmud Torah, and that is something that's mentioned in the Haggadah of Rabbi Gamaliel. He pointed out that besides eating the Pesach Matzah Mara, there is a requirement for us to talk about why we eat a Korban Pesach, and why we eat matzah, and why we eat Mara. This comes from Gamaliel, according to the Chaim of Brisk, tells us that this teaches us that besides everything else I mentioned up until now when it comes to learning Torah, we must involve ourselves in another type of limud, and that is called the limud of learning Tamei HaMitzvahs, the reason why we do each and every mitzvah we do, as part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. I will tell you very, very specifically that this concept of Tamei HaMitzvahs is a very interesting question. The mitzvahs really have reasons behind them, or a mitzvah, all mitzvahs just a chalk of divine zari of Hashem for us to do these things without a divine purpose behind them. The Rambam points out in his Moreh Nevuchim, and this is agreed upon later on by the Ramban and most Rishonim and Achronim to this very day, that we believe every mitzvah that Hashem gave us does have a concept of a tam hamitzvah, besides the actual halachas of how you perform the mitzvah. And why this is important, the mitzvah should have ta'amim, that we have to analyze and understand, besides the actual technical performance of the mitzvah, I'm going to explain to you right now. There is an interesting statement mentioned in Sefer Yeshayah HaNavi, in which he criticized Klal Yisrael of his generations. The pasuk goes, V'tiyareisam osi mitzvah anoshim ulamada. He says, what I see people doing in my generation is performing mitzvahs by rote. It's like lip service, no emotion, no interaction with the mitzvah, no internalization of the mitzvah. And he felt, therefore, that this was why people were not really impacted upon the mitzvahs they performed in his period of time. What the Rambam and all the other Rishonim say, what Yeshayah is teaching us, is that for mitzvahs to fulfill their purpose of connecting us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mitzvah comes from another word as well. We have in Aramaic the word tzavata, connectivity, relationship. mitzvahs that allow us to develop a relationship with the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They connect us to Hashem. They sanctify us. They elevate us. And Makadosh us. So in order for mitzvahs to have that type of capacity, we have to know what the meaning and reason is behind each and every mitzvah. You have to know what the foundation reason is, so that when we do the mitzvah, we understand what is the reason we're doing it and what we're supposed to think about and learn from this specific performance of mitzvahs. The Sefer Chinuch was very into interpreting all the Tayyag mitzvahs in the Sefer Chinuch for those who learn the Sefer Chinuch. I know not only men, but a lot of women in the seminaries got tremendous chinuch from learning the Sefer Chinuch, written by one of the Rishonim. In one of the mitzvahs, the Chinuch makes the following statement. Adam nifal tefi palosa, people's actions shape their character. The way people act shape the way they conduct themselves and the way they carry themselves in this world. What does this mean? So Chazal point out that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us mitzvahs, He just didn't give us, you know, a couple of mitzvahs like He gave the non-Jewish world, but He gave us 613 mitzvahs plus. The Mishnah says at the end of Masechet Makos, Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zachas Yisrael, that the Rebbeinu Shem wanted to purify Klal Yisrael, elevate Klal Yisrael, give us spiritual merit, and therefore Yibalam Tevah V'mitzvahs, He gave us a lot of mitzvahs to perform. And if you think about it for a couple of minutes, the mitzvahs we perform keep us busy and give us halachic direction from the time we go to get up in the morning to the time we go to sleep at night. And even how we sleep has certain mitzvahs that tell us how to sleep and what to sleep and et cetera and et cetera. There are halachas that are guiding our life continuously. What is the value? The value is that if mitzvahs teach us certain hashkafah, certain ideologies, reasons and rationale of what we're supposed to think about when it comes to our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Torah v'mitzvahs, it literally is shaping our character, shaping our personality. And in fact, Chazal have a very beautiful Maamar Chazal in the Gemara Menachos that says the following, K'mi sheyesh lo tefillin b'rosho, if a person has tefillin on their head, tzitzis bebigdo, tzitzis in their clothing, on the four-corner baguette, and a mezuzah bepisra, and a mezuzah in the doorway of the house, mufta shelo yechta, it's almost a guarantee this person will not come to sin. What does this mean? What is the emphasis of this Maamar Chazal? So the Briska bring down, and this is also mentioned much earlier by the Vilna Gaon, that the Maamar Chazal is quite interesting. It talks about tefillin in your head, but you wear the tefillin on your head. It talks about tzitzis inside the beged, but in fact, the tzitzis are on top of the beged. It talks about mezuzah that is put into the doorway of the house, while the mezuzah is really on the house doorway. What does the in mean in all these Maamari Chazal? So the Briskis quote the Vilna Gaon saying the following, that it's not merely sufficient for you just to put on a pair of tefillin, or put on a pair of tzitzis, or put mezuzahs on your doorway, or for that matter, any other mitzvah that you do. You have to make sure that the spiritual message and reason behind the mitzvah, what we call the Tami HaMitzvah, are also known by you, and take that Tam, take that Hashkafa contained in each and every mitzvah, and let it penetrate the head of your mind. When you're wearing tefillin, the messages of Torah Hashkafa in the tefillin should penetrate your heart and your mind, be internalized. When you're wearing Torah tzitzis, it's not just wearing this outwardly on the clothing, but the tzitzis is measures should penetrate the clothing and the person who's wearing this clothing. Guide you to a certain derech when it comes to your connectivity between yourself and the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Chazal tell us that the blue thread in the tzitzis we learned in the Parsha dealing with the tzitzis, the Psil Tchelus is supposed to remind you ultimately of HaKadosh Baruch from the Kisei HaKavod, and therefore give with you the ability to have Yir HaShemayim surround you continuously every part of the day while you're wearing this beged of tzitzis. You dress properly, you act properly because of the tzitzis you're wearing. And when it comes to the mezuzah, which has Torah in it as well, The Hashkafa is contained in the Shema Yisrael, the Parshias of the Mezuzah, should not just be on your doorway, but should enter your household through your door and serve as the actual source of all the things you do inside the privacy of your house. That the Halacha Hashkafis of the Mezuzah, the Shema Yisrael, and the Kabbalas Olmachu Shemayim, Kabbalas Olmitzvahs, Abbas Hashem, Lima, that are everything contained in that specific Parshios, contained in the Mezuzah, should serve as the guide of how a Jewish household should be conducted. So if you take the mitzvah you're doing and allow the Hashkafis and the Tamim contained in those mitzvahs to penetrate your heart, your mind, your soul, to penetrate the clothing you wear, penetrate the household that you've built, it's for all full of the Hashkafis and ideologies contained in the mitzvahs you performed, then you are undergoing a zechia, not only a spiritual merit for what you're doing, it purifies you, it elevates you. The actions of these mitzvahs are shaping your character, shaping your personality, making you a tzaddik and tzaddikes. So we therefore see that the concept of knowing the Tamim for mitzvahs, how you do mitzvahs, it's not just doing them, but knowing and understanding what they represent and what they teach us, is a very, very important concept. And in order to have shleimus in our avodas Hashem, in our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, learning Tamei Mitzvos is a crucial factor in accomplishing that specific feat. A very important concept. But now what I want to do is go deeper and share with you a very interesting insight that the great Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, Chaim Brisk, taught his children, his grandchildren, and I'm sharing with you the version I heard from my Rebbe, or Yosef Levi Soloveitchik Zatzal, the Rav, in which he quotes his Zayda, making a very interesting analysis, what are Tamei HaMitzvos? Now, it's interesting, once again, as I mentioned before, the Brisker world was very much into the Rambam, all this form of the Rambam by them was a major reference, and not only when it comes to Halacha, but when it comes to Hashkafas HaTorah. And the Rambam points out in Moreh Nevuchim that there is a machlokes where the mitzvahs themselves are merely divine manifestations of a chok of Hashem, which we have to do, or whether mitzvahs, besides being Hashem's divine sivui command, have actually tamim, reasons behind them, which was supposed to study and analyze as we're learning Torah, and then apply those tamim to our personality, to our heart, to our mind, and the soul, to shape our personality as I described before. But obviously, Reb Chaim and most of the Gedolei HaRishonim and Achronim held there are Tamei HaMitzvos. That's why the Rambam wrote a great deal about Tamei HaMitzvos in his Sefer Moreh Nevuchim. Ramban does it in all his Kesavim. Rashi does it. The Baalei Tosfos do it. You look through Achronim. Everybody is involved in analyzing Tamim, reasons behind mitzvahs, to make them more meaningful, make them more exciting, making them something that are instructive in nature for what this whole mitzvah is coming to do when it comes to impacting upon us and connecting us to the Ribono Shel Olam. So for that reason, mitzvahs do have Tamim, and we have a chiyuv of the mitzvah Talmud Torah to be involved in analyzing Tamei HaMitzvos the same way we analyze every other part of mitzvahs in their technical performance, the technical analysis, and everything else like that. As I mentioned before, every mitzvah has its unique tam, reason behind it, and we have a mitzvah to analyze it as part of our mitzvah Talmud Torah. We have Kol HaShana Kula, but Rambam brings us down Halacha Maasa in three different places, the Mishnah Torah. There's a fee for us to learn Tamei HaMitzvos and all the mitzvahs you perform, even mitzvahs that seem to be chukim, also have Tamei HaMitzvos. If you look and search hard enough, you'll find a tam for them as well, as I'll be discussing today. And therefore, for that reason, all mitzvahs are subject to this type of analysis of Tamei HaMitzvos, besides all the other technical things we do when it comes to Torah and analysis of the Mayushay of mitzvah performance we do every day of our life in the Beis Medrash at home, the shurim we attend to, applies, it goes into a boys' base medrash in yeshiva, it happens in a women's seminary. We're learning a lot of Tamei HaMitzvahs as part of our Torah education to make our mitzvah performance more meaningful and have the ability to shape our character and personality to connect us on a very high level to our Kodesh Baruch Hu. But now let me tell you the following chiddush that is mentioned by Rav Chaim and my Rebbe of Soloveitchik, as Einikel told it to us. And he brings out a very interesting phenomenon when it comes to analyzing something and coming to reasons. Listen very carefully, because this is a very important piece. Many people do not know this, but when you hear what I have to say, you'll understand the importance of what I'm teaching you right now. Rav Chaim says, when people are analyzing topics in this world, no matter what type of discipline you're trying to analyze in the world of academic analysis, there are usually three questions that are posed by investigators. Number one, the question why. What's the motivation for this thing being here in this world? Number two, the question how. How does it work? How does it function? What are the mechanics of how this specific entity I'm analyzing? How does it work? How does it function? How can I understand and comprehend the actual detail of everything contained in this specific phenomenon studying and be able to understand its activity from a scientific, mathematical, and logical perspective? That's the how question. And then you have the what question. What can I do with all of this knowledge? And what can I base with this specific activity? How can I relate it to my life? How can I apply this to my human existence in this world? So this is the three questions of why, how, and what that all investigators try to put into their research of analyzing every specific topic they put in their realm of analysis. What Rav Chaim says, and I want you to hear very carefully, is that when it comes to the world of the secular world of exact sciences, pure sciences of physics, biology, chemistry, astronomy, all things on that specific level and further.
You are listening to RebbeStorah.com.
Why God made this physical phenomenon, this biological phenomenon, or this chemistry, why it's made by Hashem this way, why Hashem did it, Rav Chaim says, is a metaphysical question. It's not a scientific, analytical question, and you'll never have an answer for that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when it comes to why Hashem did it, he did it for his own divine reasons. It's a chok. Why water freezes at 32 degrees Fahrenheit, we'll never figure out. Why light moves at the speed of 186,000 minutes per second, we'll never figure that out. That's the reality. But why Hashem made it that way is a chok when it comes to our analysis of the scientific universe. What we do, however, can do when it comes to the scientific universe and these secular disciplines is figure out the how it works, by doing all different types of research. Hashem gave us Baruch Hashem et Tzelem Elokim that allows us to discover the Chachma Bas Breishis of natural, and Hashem created the world with, going back to the beginning of Briyat Olam. Hashem gave us the capacity as human beings with et Tzelem Elokim to literally research, dissect the natural law, and figure out exactly all the pratim, how all of part of natural law work. That's what laboratory works all about. Scientific investigation, technological investigation, medical investigation. How do these things work in natural law? Let us figure it out. Hashem gave us the Tzelem Elokim to figure it out. In fact, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a mitzvah in the very beginning of the Torah, where Hashem said, I'm giving you a mitzvah of kibush olam, conquering the universe. And as the Ramban and later on many other Rishonim and Achronim interpret this to mean, Hashem says, I gave you a universe, but your mandate is to take this universe and figure out how it works, how it operates, figure out how natural law is actually working. Why? Because sometimes you're going to have to manipulate natural law for the sake of mankind, to help mankind in doing what they have to do in this world. In my world of medical halach, I will tell you, when it came to the medical technology to circumvent, for instance, infertility problems, and they brought into the world artificial insemination and the visual fertilization and all the other processes we have today, the Gedolim asked the question, do we have a right to manipulate natural law for the sake of granting a couple the capacity of having children, which by natural law they have impediments? And the answer that was given unanimously by the Gedolim, that's the mandate of Kibbush HaOlam. Hashem gave us ownership of natural law. Therefore, if you have to, under normal cases, follow the natural law, but if sometimes you have to circumvent the natural law, manipulate the natural law, to allow us to perform mitzvahs and do things in this world which are beneficial for mankind in a positive way, we're given rights and reasons and permissibilities by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Rav Tzelem Elokim, to figure out how to circumvent the problems of natural law sometimes, that for some people are impediments, and allow people, therefore, to live a life full of Torah mitzvahs and not have physical impediments prevent them from doing such. Allow couples to have children which they couldn't have before as an example. It gives us the ability, therefore, to have scientific technology developed, has the ability for us to have medical technology developed to help cure disease in this world and cure all different types of diseases for mankind. Rapi Yorapi, in the midst of healing people, in the midst of Pruach Nefesh, are all subsumed under the concept of our Kibbush Olam, to take the natural laws perhaps preventing us doing Torah mitzvahs in certain circumstances and to circumvent it and manipulate it, to make our ability to do mitzvahs on an easier way by having the ability through technology knowledge and knowing the how it works, to basically manipulate it for the benefit of mankind. In fact, Hashem wanted us to be a shutta b'masa b'reishis, to be partners with Hashem in the continual existence of the world, the existence of the universe. He therefore, halacha l'masa, told us, you are my shutvim, and therefore in the world you have to be creative as well as I was creative in creating the universe. Be my partner, work with natural law, and therefore make this universe the most beautiful universe it possibly could be for the health and benefit of all of mankind living in the universe during the years and the centuries and all the years that the world is supposed to exist, that there should be a world of total ability of success and fulfillment and living in a healthy type of environment, a world where very well moved by Hashem. Don't destroy the environment, the world in which you're living. Don't destroy the natural resources. You're required to make sure the world is a healthy place to be. And don't destroy the technology, anything that will destroy the ability for people to survive in this world. This is all our responsibility of Avedis Olam Shmiris Olam. This is our obligation according to Halacha when it comes to the concept of preserving the world in which we live in the most healthy way we possibly can. Chazal tell us, therefore, that when it comes to science, what we do with it is also the important result of how we know how it works. So in science, the questions of how something works and what we can do with it is part of our mandate as being human beings over Kibbush HaOlam. Why Hashem made these things this way is out of the realm. It's a chok, something we'll never know. It's metaphysical, and don't even try to figure that out. However, says Rav Chaim, and says my Rebbe, or Soloveitchik, Zainikol, when it comes to the region of religion, the concept of Torah, mitzvahs, over here, when it comes to philosophy, Jewish theology, and such, he wants you to know the following. Why Hashem gave us these mitzvahs, for each and every mitzvah, is a chok. We will never know that. How mitzvahs work, we will see very shortly, that's not in the realm of our comprehension as well. How mitzvahs work mechanically inside, in their ability to accomplish what they have to accomplish in the spiritual universe, is out of the realm of our understanding as well. The proof of that is going to be the paradigm, which I'll be describing shortly, which is the theme of this week's parsha. The only thing we can do when it comes to mitzvah analysis in Tamin is what? What does this mitzvah teach us? What is the hashkafa we're getting from each and every mitzvah that we perform? What's the hashkafa behind this mitzvah? This is the concept of learning the Tanya mitzvahs of the Tayyag mitzvahs. Mahu malamdenu. What does it teach us? What is the sherish of this mitzvah? That's the term used by the Sefer Tefillin when he talks about Tanya mitzvahs. Every mitzvah has a tam. Even chukim have tam as their own. They just have to work hard to figure out what the tam is of the chok, where mishpatim are easier to find out what their tamim are. When it comes to chukim, it's a little more difficult, but it's possible. And therefore, for that reason, Chazal tell us, we have a mitzvah in Talmud Torah to figure out what each animator teaches us, to give it a meaningfulness, something that has a hashkafa we can learn from this mitzvah that will impact upon us in the way we relate to the performance of the mitzvah, that the tefillin should be berosho, and the mezuzah should be in our beged, and the mezuzah should be in our house, and every mitzvah we do should connect us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and give us a meaningful relationship with the divinity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should sanctify us, nekadosh us, uplift us, bring us closer to Hashem. Tamei mitzvot have the ability to elevate us. They allow our actions and mitzvah performance to have an impact on how we think, how we act, how we talk, how we walk, what we do. It gives significance to the mitzvah we do, so it makes the mitzvah exciting. Now, wow, when I do this mitzvah and I know what it represents, it makes it something that's no longer rote. It makes it an exciting spiritual experience. That's the importance of the chashivas of tamei hamitzvos. And that's why we have a mitzvah in Talmud Torah to learn them and to analyze them and to comprehend them, to give us a shleimus when we do mitzvahs. It becomes an exciting, exhilarating experience, impacting upon us and connecting us on a very intimate level to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the real reason for learning tamei mitzvahs, but it's only the what question, what we can learn from it and what we can apply to our lives that can be asked. Why the mitzvah was given to us in general by Hashem, metaphysical, it's a folk. How the mitzvah works, I'm sure I'm going to show you, is also metaphysical and not capable of being understood. I want to deal with this last part, because that really relates to the Pasha HaShavua of Pasha Chukas. The Torah says that Chukas HaTorah, this is the folk of the Torah, and discusses the mitzvah of Paraduma. Now the Torah seems to say that the highlight of what it means to be a chok of the Torah is when you analyze Paraduma, you see there's a certain chok about it, which quite obviously is very incomprehensible. And what do I mean by this? Why Hashem gave us Paraduma? Why we need the Paraduma to purify ourselves from a tummy mess is a chok. That's the why question. We can't answer that. Why do I say that the how question of Paraduma, as I pointed out before, like all mitzvahs, the mechanics of the mitzvah is incomprehensible, it's a chok? Because Shlomo, when he started analyzing Tayyag mitzvahs, and he came to Paraduma, listen to what it says in Sefer Keheles on this investigation. It says in the seventh parak of Keheles, on David, on Shlomo HaMelech, on Pasach HaGimel Perak Zayim, I thought I was going to investigate all the mitzvahs of the Torah and figure out what they're all about. I thought I would become a chacham. Hashem promised Shlomo Melech, you're going to be chacham b'chol adam, as the psukim tell us in Sefer Malachim, the greatest intellect on the face of this earth. You're going to be a grace of chacham. So I felt I can therefore use that chachma, ton of chachma, to penetrate all tamei hamitzvos. I now see it's far from me. Far away from me as always before. It's so deep, who can find it? What is this pasuk in Keheles referring to? What was the dilemma that Shlomo Melech had in his studying of Torah that made him make such an incredible statement? So there's a medrash, the midrashim on this. And the medrash says the following. It's a medrash Tanchuma, in Parashas Chukas. Amar Shlomo, Al kol eila madi yaparsha pashaduma chakakti v'shalti bibashti. I was studying all the mitzvahs of the Torah, and I came to one mitzvah, the mitzvah of Paraduma, and I did chakira and shalab. It's funny, I was doing a tremendous research. Amadi echkama, I thought I would be able to master and know the chachma, the tamei mitzvah behind Paraduma. Now I see how far it is. Now what was the problem that Shlomo encountered when he came to analyzing Paraduma? He found the following problem. Why Hashem gave it to us, he knew it's a chok. Shlomo didn't involve himself in that. But Shlomo thought that he can figure out how each and every mitzvah works in the Torah as part of his investigation of Tami HaMitzvahs. So he started going through the process. He went through this mitzvah, that mitzvah. He figured, this is how it works. This is how it works. This is how it works. When he came to Bar Aduma, he realized he found a solid brick wall. Why? Because when he looked at Bar Aduma, he saw an enigma he can't explain. Why is it as the same ashes of a burnt Bar Aduma that are mixed with special waters, Maim Chayim, why when a person who is Tamei from Tumas Emes has water sprinkled upon them, they become tar, purified entirely, as the Torah says in Parshas Chukas? And why is it that a person who's involved in the Bar Aduma's preparation of the waters, who's not Tamei, when he touches the Bar Aduma waters, a tar becomes a Tamei? How can the same water of the ashes mixed with water make a person who's Tamei tahar, and make a person who's tar Tamei? It seems to be something that's inexplicable. Doesn't make sense. I can't give a rationale of the mechanics of how the Bar Aduma works. He therefore realized when he came to that wall that he had made a stake in his investigation of Tamei HaMitzvahs. He knew he couldn't ask why Hashem did it, but he thought he could master how the mitzvah works. When he came to Bar Aduma, he saw he couldn't explain the Bar Aduma. He then realized in retrospect, not only can I explain the mechanics of how Bar Aduma works because of the conflict I just mentioned to you, that means what I gave before of how other mitzvahs work, I probably did not give the proper explanation, because the how of how mitzvahs work are as a chok about the mitzvah as why Hashem gave us the mitzvah. And he realized at that point in time, not only he can't understand the Bar Aduma, he refoka, but I now see Rav Mashoya of Rav Mishavan, even what I said before of how of the other mitzvahs, I thought I found the how of how it works, also must be incorrect. And therefore he realized at that point in time, the only thing he can do when it comes to explaining Tamei HaMitzvahs is deal with the what question. What this teaches us? What's the hashkafa emanating from the mitzvah? How does this impact upon the way we think, the way we act, the way we conduct our life? So from the story of Shlomo Melech in this specific parsha, we therefore see that Bar Aduma set the record straight, that every mitzvah in the Torah, every mitzvah, why Hashem gave us the mitzvah is a chok. How it operates is also a chok. What we learn from the mitzvah, with the Hashgafas HaMitzvah, that applies to all Tayag Mitzvahs, as Chazal emphasizes, the Rambam emphasizes, not only to the Mishpatim of the Torah, but to the Chukam of the Torah. And that is why you find amongst the Rishonim and Achronim, including my own Rebbe, everyone trying to explain what is the Hashgafa we derive from the concept of Bar Aduma. What does it teach us hashgafically that when we think about the Bar Aduma, we see it being done, we see how it purifies people, what is it teaching hashgafically that we can apply to our life and in turn could obviously raise our spirituality and connect on a stronger bonding to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That was the focus from that point on of Shlomo Melech and all the other Gedolim when it comes to the concept of Bar Aduma being the biggest chok of the Torah because of the contradictions and how it makes pure people Tamei and Tamei people Tar. That phenomenon actually raised the attention that we can't figure out mechanics of mitzvahs, and for that reason, don't concentrate on that. You won't know the answer anyway, and deal with the Mahom Olam Deinu. And that's what the Sefer Chinuch and all the Tamei Mitzvah Sefer Svarim do. They deal with the Tam of the mitzvah. What is this teaching us? What, in fact, is the concept behind this mitzvah? And why Hashem gave us this mitzvah? This is the crucial factor of what we should be doing as part of our Talmud Torah experience. So as I pointed out to you, that if you do that, if you learn Tamei HaMitzvahs, the Sefer Chinuch is an excellent sefer to start that limud. You have all Tayag Mitzvahs explained to you by the Sefer Chinuch with a logical explanation of what it teaches us. But the Rambam on Nevuchim and the Ramban, many places in all his writings, spends a lot of time on this, as well as other Rishonim and Achrayim. Spend time with that besides learning the technical halachos and even going into in-depth analysis of Blitlich Gemara when it comes to Midrashi Chazal and Halachic Midrashim, analyzing the Manushi of Halacha. All of that is part of a mitzvah of Yigisa and Laila, the concept of Nishma. We have to understand and comprehend the intricacy of the Zaf Halacha and come to an awareness of Hashem, an understanding of Hashem's brilliant mind, Meshem Avucha, that allows us therefore to come ultimately to appreciation of Hashem, Hakaras Hashem, and a love to Hashem. The Havka Shalot Kecha is derived by our intensity of learning Torah on every level. And when you learn Tami HaMitzvah, that's part of Mitzvah Talmud Torah, you then appreciate why Hashem gave us these Tayyag Mitzvahs. What this teaches about our Hashkofes HaChayim, of every second of our existence on the face of this earth, how we're supposed to live our life, how we're supposed to conduct ourselves in our interaction, not only between ourselves and our Kaddish Baruch Hu, but the interaction between human beings and every other human being living with them in society at large. It's a guidebook. It's a hashkafa sefer of the purpose of human life and human existence. And Tami HaMitzvahs give flavor and meaning and significance to all the mitzvahs we do. It makes it a lively, lebedicka topic. When you put on a pair of tefillin now and you think about what the tefillin teaches us, you become excited. You sit down by a Pesach Seder, as all we do, and we start talking about the Tami HaMitzvah and all the things that relate. And CBCS Masrav, we get excited about the Seder. And while Yitzias Masrav is looked upon as one of the most important concepts of the Ikar of Yisai the Hadas of Torah, Yitzias Masrav, which we have so many different Zechronas, 20 mitzvahs just related to CBCS Masrav and the concepts of the mitzvahs of the night of Pesach. It tells us the Ikar concept of the Metzias Hashem, the existence of Hashem, and the concept of the divine providence, Yedias Hashem, of each and every human being on the face of this earth. It teaches the concepts of the omnipotent, the Echelos Hashem. Hashem is the all-powerful God that controls the universe, created it, controls it. Nothing can count that Kadosh Baruch Hu's koach when it comes to what happens in our world, what happens in our universe at large. Everything is under the control of our Kadosh Baruch Hu. We say in our davening effect, each and every day, Hashem's mechanish b'chol yom tov and ba'aseh v'reishis. Every day the world is recreated anew from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's desire to keep the world in existence. Everything depends upon Him. This is the omnipotence of Hashem, creating the magnificent universe we live in, not just the earth, with all its magnificence. Look in a telescope and you see the universe around us. All of this is the B'riah HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yesh Me'ayin, which took place many, many, many years ago, at the time of Briyat HaOlam. Hashem brought all this into existence. The way the earth functions in connection to the sun is something Hashem set in place so that we should be able to have earth as the habitable place for which we're able to live. We weren't meant to live on Mars or the moon or any other planet because Hashem wanted that. He would make their environments conducive for human living. The Pasuk says in Tehillim, HaShemayim Shemayim LaHashem, God gave us the earth to live. He didn't give us every planet or every type of entity in the universe as a place for human existence. While people still think that they have a mandate to make rocket ships, that you have to fly around the universe and send human beings to other planets, is incomprehensible on a theological level. But I'm not going to get into that now. The crucial factor is that the more you learn Torah, the deeper you go, the greater you see the infinite divine mind of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how incredible it is. It's incredible when it comes to the Chochmah HaTorah. It's incredible when it comes to the Chochmah of Maaseh Bereishis of natural law. And look at all the brilliant things we have today to help mankind survive and thrive in this very complicated world in which we live. And it's incredible when it comes to God's divine providence of watching the Jewish people and guarding us and protecting us throughout the generation against all odds. No empire was able to conquer us, to overcome us, and to eradicate us. Hashem promised to bring Bein Abbasim, you're going to be forever on the face of this earth, as long as I want the earth to be here. You're my Amah Nifchar, and Klai shall never have. Hashem is their Morgan, as their shield. We therefore see that Tabi Mitzvahs are crucial, Tamidim and Tamidas, in our observance of the mitzvahs of the Torah itself. I will tell you right now, you start learning Tamei HaMitzvahs, your mitzvah performance of the mitzvahs you do will be a different type of mitzvah. There are many, many sfarim now that are written on Tamei HaMitzvahs in every language, English especially. And for that reason, some of your day should be set aside to trying to analyze what this mitzvah means, what that mitzvah means. So when you do that mitzvah, you'll think of the reason behind it, what it's coming to teach you, and it'll make that mitzvah a very, very exciting experience for you as you are performing the mitzvahs. Take my word for it, this is what the Hashkafas HaTorah is all about. For the Brisker world, Tamei HaMitzvah investigation, quoting the Rambam, was very crucial, very important for literally concretizing their Avedas Hashem, concretizing their connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and elevating us on a higher level of Kedusha, sanctity. And Chazal tell us that this part of Reduma, when it comes to Y Hashem, when it comes to Tamei HaMitzvot, Rashi quotes our Moshe HaDarshan, that all the different parts of the mitzvah of Pavaduma, if you look in Rashi at the last pasuk, I think it's pasuk Chabez, dealing with the mitzvah of Pavaduma, he brings how Rav Moshe Darshan shows, when it comes to what it teaches us, how every concept contained in the mitzvah of Pavaduma is a kapara for the chet of the ego hazav. The expression used by the Chazal is, let the mother, the cow, come along and clean up the mess made by its calf. And everything that we do when it comes to the Paraduma is a kapara for the sins that were occurred when it came to making the Egel Hazav. That's one of the interpretations. There are many interpretations of Paraduma when it comes to what it teaches us hashkafically. Take the time to learn and to analyze. And one thing that's for sure, if you do that, your Avedas Hashem will be enhanced. Your connection to HaKadosh Baruch will be made a much more closer connection. You'll feel the Kedusha of the mitzvahs you're performing. You will not do mitzvahs by rote anymore. Your spiritual life will be an exciting experience. It'll be a Torah Sachayim. And it will make, therefore, that you, when you're doing Avedas Hashem, it should be done b'simcha shel mitzvah. You'll enjoy doing it. You'll have tremendous spiritual happiness by doing it. Feeling a feeling of being uplifted by this mitzvah performance. That's the power of Torah v'mitzvahs. It's a Teres Chaim. It gives us the ability to survive in every generation in which we exist. Torah can relate to every new phenomenon that's basically created through natural law, through technology, through medicine. Torah has a way of connecting to all of this and giving us the Torah Hashkafa for how to deal with it. There's no religion on the face of the earth that has the power through its normal literature to be able to tell their constituency how everything that develops in the world could be used positively to develop their connection between themselves and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Torah has that ability to do such. It's a Torah Sachayim. And therefore, Ashreinu Atel Chalkeinu, I thank you for listening to my shir today. Please take it to heart. And hopefully, Mirtz Hashem will be able to elevate our Torah of the mitzvahs, not only learning the minutiae how to perform the mitzvah, halot through the minutiae of the do's and don'ts, but learning the chachma behind the mitzvahs, the Tamei HaMitzvahs, will elevate our mitzvah performance to the highest level. So we should be zeich for not only the brachas of Olam Hazeh, but the brachas of Olam Haba, b'ez Mashiach Tzidkenu, amen v'amen.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.